Blog Talk Radio.
On our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection.
You can't hurry gone. Oh no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come
when you call him,
but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him,
but he's right on time.
Ooh. God is the
And our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Welcome. And let us get right into it. Let's open up in prayer.
Amen.
Dear God, Lord God, we love you. We magnify your name, Lord God. You are so awesome. You are so magnificent, Lord God. Lord God, we can't. There's so many ways to describe you, Lord God. You are loving. You are kind, Lord God.
Yeah.
Lord God, you are, Lord God. Lord God, you are just awesome, Father. And we praise your holy name, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you into this lesson today, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here this day, Lord God. Because, Lord God, we know that it's only you, Lord God, that allow us to be here right now, this time, Lord God. And we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to study your word, Lord God, to learn more about you, Lord God, and be able to be an example, Lord God, of obedience to your word, Lord God, to for the world to see, Lord God, so that we can show your love to everyone that we come in contact with, Lord God, so they will want to have a relationship with you also, Father. So we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord God, is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Okay. So we don't have to go back. We're in Colossians.
Yes.
And I'm going to.
Date and setting.
Yeah, I'm going to. We had date and settings. Okay, cool. So Colossians. So the date and setting for this epistle, which is a letter, happened in this little minor city called Colossae. And it was a minor city about 100 miles east of Ephesus in the region of the seven Asian churches. And we see about these seven Asian churches in Revelation, which are chapters 1-3, which discusses the seven Asian churches. Located in the fertile Lycus Valley by a mountain passed on the road from Ephesus to the east. Colossae once was a popular center of commerce, famous for its glossy black wool. By the time of Paul, it had been eclipsed by its neighboring cities, Laodicea, and Laodicea and Hierapolis. And that we find in chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, "For I testify to him that he is working hard on behalf of you and those in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis, and it was on the decline." Apart from this letter, Colossae exerted almost no influence on early church history. It is evident that Paul had never visited the church of Colossae, which was founded by Epaphras, and we should see that in Epaphras, and we can see that in chapter 1, verses 4-8. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1, verses 4-8. Paul says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you." Amen.
Good. And 2:1 says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on behalf of you and those in Laodicea and all those who have not seen my face in person." So we know that Paul he never visited the church.
Right.
So, but on the third missionary journey, Paul devoted almost 3 years to an Asian ministry centered in Ephesus. And we can see that in Acts 19:10, where it says, "And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 20:31, it says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for 3 years, I did not stop warning each of you with tears. So, and Epaphras probably came to Christ during this time also. So he carried the gospel to the cities in Lycus Valley. Mm-hmm. And years later came to visit Paul in his imprisonment.
Amen.
That also in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, where it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, greets you, a slave of Christ, always struggling on behalf of you in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify to him that he is working hard on behalf of you and those in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis and also the whole chapter of Philippi. Philippi, I guess it's chapter and verse 23, where he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So Colossians, Philemon, and Ephesians were evidently written about the same time and under the same circumstances. Judging by the overlapping theme and personal names that's in it. So if you could read Colossians 4:9-17.
Okay, 4:9-13. Okay. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's been happening here. Oh, man. Articus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. Is that it?
Right. So
So Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always pray earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis or whatever. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nymphaea and the church that meets in her house. after you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul, remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. Amen.
Right. And so in Philemon, it's the same name, like Apophia, the sister of Archippus. And then we have the same names here. Onesimus, and then
yep.
He also talks about Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. So in Philemon, that's why he said that the judging by the overlapping themes and personal names, that these letters were probably written at the same time because they mentioned the same people.
Yeah.
So although Caesar and Ephesus have been suggested as the location, Caesarea and Ephesus have been suggested as the location of the authorship of the writing, the bulk of the evidence indicates that Paul wrote all four prison epistles during his first Roman imprisonment. It says see dating and setting of Ephesians and Philippians. So if so, Paul wrote it in AD 60 or 61, and sent it with Tychicus and the converted slave Onesimus to
Onesimus. See, I was saying Onesima, but I think it's Onesima.
Yeah, well, we can find out exactly how it's pronounced. Hold on. Let me get the exact. I'd like to find out the pronunciation.
I think it's Onesima. But they'll tell us.
Here they go, tell us. Onesima's pronunciation. Hey, this is weird.
Onesimus. Okay, got it. But I'll forget it when it goes around again.
Onesimus.
It's like,
unless we say Epaphras. What do you say? Epaphras.
I said Ephesus. Ephesus.
Okay. I say Epaphras. Let's see what it is. Epaphras.
Ephesus.
Are we going to do that now? It's fine. We'll see.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this biblical character, who is an observer of the Apostle Paul, mentioned twice in the New Testament. How do you go about pronouncing his name? Epaphras.
Epaphras.
Did you get it?
Yeah,
Let me know. In the comments, Epaphras.
Epaphras.
More videos on how to pronounce the biblical.
We got it. Epaphras.
Okay.
Epaphras. So Epaphras visit and report about the condition of Colossae. So Ephesus visit and report about the conditions in Colossae prompt this letter.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Colossians had not yet succumbed, an encroaching heresy was threatening the predominantly Gentile Colossian church. So let's see, 2:1-5. Did you get that, please?
Mm-hmm.
What was this encroaching heresy?
2:1-5.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Amen.
Yeah. And then 1:21 says, and although you were formerly alienated and enemies in attitude because of your evil deeds, 27, to whom God wanted to make known what is the glorious wealth of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. And then 2:13 will say, and although you were deeds in the trespasses and the uncircumcisions of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. So the nature of this heresy can only be deducted from Paul's incidental reference to it in his refutation, because apparently it looks like people were trying to make them, you know, because they were Gentiles and they were in circumstance and they were trying to dissuade them. But I think if we read the rest, read 2:8-13, where Paul, refutes them on what they were saying. So, first chapter 2, verses 8-23.
That's 18 to 23.
No.
Okay. So don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe body discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Wow.
Hey. Wow. That's right.
Wow. Ooh. Go ahead on, Paul.
Go ahead on, Paul.
Apparently
a religious system that combined elements from Greek speculations Jewish legalism, Oriental mysticism. It involved a low view of the body and probably nature as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Circumcision, dietary regulations, and ritual observations were included in this system, which utilizes ascetism. No, that's not how you say it. I know this word. I can't figure out how you say it, though.
Ascetism.
Asceticism.
We are looking at how to pronounce these words, as well as how to say more interesting and often confusing words in English, so make sure to stay tuned to the channel. How do you say this? Asceticism.
Thank you, Mr.
Like he hears you.
What does it mean, though? Let's see what it means. Meaning of asceticism. Oh, it means severe self-discipline. The avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. So it's like severe abstinence from things, non-indulgence. Like Paul was saying, they were like, don't do this and don't touch that and don't do this.
Yes, so
that's a system.
Okay, got it.
So this religion, this stuff that they put together, which utilizes asceticism, worship of angels as intermediaries, a mystical experience as an approach to the spiritual realm, any attempt to fit Christ into such a system would undermine his personal and redemptive work.
Wow.
So, yeah. So theme and purpose. The resounding theme of Colossians is the preeminence and sufficiency of Christ in all things. The believer is complete in him alone and lacks nothing because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body.
Amen.
He has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There is no need for speculation, mystical visions, or ritualistic regulations, as though faith in Christ was insufficient. Predominant purpose then was to refute a threatening heresy that was devaluating Christ by a positive presentation of his true attributes and accomplishments. A proper view of Christ is the antidote for heresy. Paul also wrote this epistle to encourage the Colossians to continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, so that they will grow and bear fruit in the knowledge of Christ. A firm adherence to the true gospel will give them stability and resistance to opposing influences. Another purpose in the mind of the apostle is reflected in chapter 3,
that's the whole of chapter 3 into chapter 4.
No, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4,
chapter 3, 1 through 4, 6. See, the bottom one says 3, 1 through 4. But the one that reflects in is 3, 1 through 4, 6. You see it?
Yeah, I see it. Because when you highlight it, when you highlight it on the page, it has to be chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And then it has verses 5 and 6, 7. Must be all of...
5 and 6.
Sometimes I can't. I don't get it, but...
Chapter 3, 1 through 4. In the mind of the apostles reflected in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, 6. Paul wanted the Colossians to understand. And then when you keep reading and you get down to the believer's position in chapter 3, 1 through 4, which is in parentheses. You see that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay.
So let's read it like that then. I have chapter 3, 1 through 4.
That's at the bottom. That's the one that's in parentheses, but the top one, after you read...
the top one, please. Is chapter, so that reads chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 6.
Yeah.
So that's the whole chapter of chapter 3.
Yes.
And then
and
chapter
6, verses
4, verse 6.
4.
Okay.
Well, 3 has 25 verses. It can go fast.
Okay.
All right.
I'll read.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an adult idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly master in everything you do. Try to please them all the time. Not when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorite.
Wow, that was good. And then chapter 4 to 6.
Come on.
And chapter 4. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Mm-hmm. Remember that you also have a master in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And it is 7:57.
7:57. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm hungry.
I know. And I'm, me, that makes two of us, plus I got to take Chico out, too. Okay.
Yeah. So you want to stop?
Mm-hmm. Father God, we thank you for all that we learned tonight, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you are doing, everything you're going to do, and everything that you have done. We, again, thank you for life. Thank you for waking us up this morning in our right minds, healing in our bodies, Lord God. We love you. We thank you. We honor and adore you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Short and sweet. To God be the glory.
God be the glory. I never asked you how are you feeling today. How's your pain today?
I got to the point now where I just block it out of my mind. So when I wake up in pain, I go to bed in pain. I wake up in pain. I take the Tylenols. They're not doing anything. So I just block it out and keep it moving.
Okay. All right, so the creams don't work anymore either?
They only work for a little, everything works for a little while. And then once they wear off, the pain comes right back.
No, no, I know the pain will come back, but when you put it on, does it help when you put it on?
Oh,
some
yeah.
Some guys put it on more than a day.
True.
Yeah, because you know it's not a cure, so it's not like it's gonna always come back, but at least you get some relief.
Some relief,
and
yeah.
Then when
and it does, I get a little bit relief when it comes, but then when the sciatica jumps in and it makes it worse, because then it feels like you know how like my legs are like aching. You know, like when you get cold in your hands and legs, and you get that achy feeling.
No, I don't know that.
Okay, well that's what I get. You know,
that's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, the hands and the legs and the feet, they're always cold. They be cold, cold, cold. It's like the more I try to rub it and make it, you know, put some heat or something in there, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
They stay cold until, I don't know, until I fall asleep, I guess. Once I fall asleep, I don't feel anything.
Heating pads? The heating pads?
Yeah, that's what Belinda told me to get one.
Yeah.
She told me to get a heating pad to and put it like wrap it around my legs or put it under my legs or something like that.
Mhm. Mhm. You can put it wherever. Get two of them and you can put them on your feet and on your legs.
Yes.
Get some type
exactly. I tried to wear the socks to warm up to keep them warm, but that doesn't help because then. You know, it feels so tight on my legs.
Yeah. So you're going to order you're going to get the heating pad?
Yeah.
You want me to order them from Amazon?
From Amazon. That would be wonderful. You got my the card number, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have it.
You sure? I don't always keep one. At least one so you can remember it. Well, it should be in your phone.
I put it in there.
Okay.
No, I think it's on the I'll let you know. Okay.
Yeah. All righty.
All right.
Okay. Love you. Bye. Have a good night.
Love you too. You too. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.